From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. Witnesses say forces loyal to Libya's Muammar Gaddafi have broken through rebel strongholds today at an opposition-held city near the capital. They say Gaddafi's forces are now inside Zawiya, about 30 miles west of Tripoli. And there were dozens of casualties in Benghazi after an explosion at an ammunition depot yesterday. The eastern city is now largely run by anti-Gaddafi forces. These rebel forces recently moved out of the city in an effort to push their hold further west. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports the cause of the blast is still unclear.
There has been a lot of discussion about what might the cause of this have been. There is no clear answer yet. There was a lot of munitions there. A lot of explosives, we're told, and you can't rule out the possibility of an accidental blast. Another theory is that there was an airstrike. There were witnesses who reported hearing planes. Yet a third theory was that somehow pro-Gaddafi forces had gotten in and planted explosives around some of the existing munitions and had set off sympathetic blasts. So there's a lot to sort through. All we know so far is that it was a huge, devastating blast, deadly for a number of people, and it has people very angry here.
NPR's Peter Kenyon reporting from Benghazi. In Cuba, a U.S. government contractor faces a second day on trial today. He could get a 20-year prison term. Nick Myroff says Cuban authorities accuse him of trying to set up a satellite internet connection on the island as part of a plan to bring down the Castro government.
Alan Gross was arrested in December 2009 and has been held by Cuban authorities ever since. The U.S. government says he's a harmless development worker who was trying to give Cuba's small Jewish community better access to the internet. But Cuban authorities insist the USAID program Gross worked for is aimed at facilitating an uprising on the island. Friday's court proceedings were closed to the foreign press, and U.S. officials present at the trial are not commenting. A severe sentence in the case would likely deal a major setback to cautious efforts at improving relations between the long-estranged Cold War enemies. Gross's trial is scheduled to resume Saturday morning, with a verdict expected in the coming days. For NPR News, I'm Nick Miroff in Havana.
In Florida, President Obama was standing shoulder to shoulder with Jeb Bush last night, the popular ex-Republican governor, at a fundraiser to promote education and trumpet the latest economic numbers. The government announcing that the unemployment rate dropped to 8.9% in February, the lowest level in almost 2 years. Speaking at a senior high school, the president stood with former President George W. Bush's brother to say he believes the status quo is unacceptable.
We've got what it takes to create more jobs. We've got what it takes to create more businesses. We know what it takes to win the future. We've just got to have the political will to make it happen.
Mr. Obama's offer of bipartisanship comes as he and his fellow Democrats face a partisan standoff with Republicans over massive budget cuts. From Washington, this is NPR News. Although the news was upbeat about the labor market, Steve Beckner of Market News International says soaring oil prices are keeping investors uneasy about the economic outlook.
Following a Thursday dip that helped boost stocks, oil prices are ratcheting higher again. U.S. light sweet crude is up nearly 3% to almost $105 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. In London, Brent crude jumped above $116. Higher fuel costs are a double-edged concern for the Federal Reserve, both boosting inflation and hurting growth. Ironically, Friday's employment report showing a 192,000 rise in non-farm payrolls and a dip in the unemployment rate below 9% is one driver in the latest oil upsurge, along with ongoing Middle East turmoil. Traders think more jobs will mean more energy demand. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker issued layoff warning notices yesterday to unions representing state employees as he continues his push to scale back bargaining rights of public sector workers. In an email, Walker's office says if Senate Democrats come back to the state, these notices may be able to be rescinded and layoffs avoided. State Senate Democrats have refused to return home so as to block a vote on the Republican governor's proposal. The plan has spawned nearly 3 weeks of protests by tens of thousands of union workers and their supporters. Searchers in New Zealand say they're relieved to find no bodies in the rubble of a well-known cathedral in Christchurch. Authorities had thought as many as 22 people were inside the Christchurch Cathedral stone bell tower when it came crashing down during a 6.3 magnitude earthquake on February 22nd. It's a rare piece of good news in the aftermath of the quake. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News, Washington.